The Education Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Tuesday, June 10th, and we're actually here for work session on House Bill 5009, which is the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development Budget Bill. But as we're lacking a quorum, I will not open a work session, but I will open a public hearing so we can proceed with business pending a quorum. And please, Mr. Bender, take us through what we are going to be doing here over the next few days.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. You're scheduled for 2 days of work session on the Community College and Workforce Development Department budget. That is House Bill 5009. And to assist you in your work session, we've distributed a set of materials to you, and I'd like to briefly go through what you have in front of you and then indicate work plan that we've discussed with the chair as to what types of decisions the subcommittee is expected to address this week and what types of decisions would be postponed to some future time. Just to note, the materials before you is you have on top a buff-colored sheet that's labeled Work Plan, Community College and Workforce Development Operations, and this indicates a number of items which I'll be going to into in a bit more depth after I cover the other materials that you have in front of you. Immediately behind that, you should see a memo dated with today's date, LFO recommendation, Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, House Bill 5009, Part 1. A draft of this memo was distributed to your offices yesterday. If you did have time to look over that draft, you will find that this version is basically the same thing that was distributed to you yesterday. I found some grammatical errors, which I corrected, and it also some additional items beyond item 9. Through yesterday's memo went through 9 items. If you look at today's memo, you'll see that those 9 items are repeated, and then we go through and add 4 more. This particular packet, you'll be spending most of your time looking at this packet. I've tried to put a number of things in here. In addition to the memo immediately behind that, you'll see a copy of the HB 5009-1 amendments. They are stapled to this memo, and we will be discussing those hopefully today. And then immediately behind those, there is a set of a listing of the department's performance measures. As you know, part of the work session process is to ask you to look over and review the performance measures. Here is a copy for you. We don't anticipate doing that today. That would be something that we would get to tomorrow. So you may want to take this memo with you if you have time to look over some of these performance measures, they're there for tomorrow's meeting. But if not, we ask you in any event to bring this memo back to committee tomorrow. There are a number of other items which I will get to in a bit, a few more information sheets that we will refer to briefly as we go through this. But I would like to go back to the buff sheet and just sort of outline what the work plan is for the subcommittee this week. This lists a number of issues that the subcommittee needs to deal with in order to pass a budget recommendation back to full committee. And you could see that there's a large number of items listed are labeled as complete. It is the hope that you'll be able to make determinations on these items and make recommendations for the full committee. That's not, of course, the bill will not be moved out, but these decisions can be made at this time, hopefully, and then later when you come back to this budget at some future time, to make the final decisions on funding for community colleges, you won't have to go through all of these decisions again. But the items that we are looking at are, after this introduction, I want to go through a very brief budget review to remind you of how this budget is set up and what it funds and what it doesn't fund. We have a number of revenue adjustments that have come to our attention since the governor prepared his budget, and we need to incorporate these revenue changes into the budget and determine what types of impacts this would have on state funding decisions. So we would cover that. There are standard co-chair adjustments relating to state government service charges, inflation, et cetera, that we're doing in all budgets, and we would hope to be able to complete that in the next couple days. There are some budget notes. There is some policy option packages, that's to say new proposals that are not currently in the agency's budget that the governor is proposing. We hope to be able to complete those to the extent that they don't involve state general funds. So those policy option packages would be looking at other funds and federally funded programs. There's an issue with funding that was appropriated in 1999, believe it or not. There's still an issue with this, of funding that was appropriated to Mount Hood. So we would like to look at that issue. Then there's the performance measure review. We may be able to get through everything through the Mount Hood today. I don't know if we'll be able to do that, but the performance measure review would follow. And then we have a number of items to review that final action is not anticipated on at this time. The big thing is how much money the state is going to be providing for community colleges. That number, awaits further decisions here at the legislature and further negotiations. So there's not ready to move on that. So we'll be looking at the co-chairs' budget additions and reductions, what they have in their plan, just to review what those are, but you will not be asked to make any decisions on approving or denying those. We'll be looking at the expectations of how the funds will be distributed to community colleges by the state and looking at the formula. We'll be looking at the tuition, what we're expecting in terms of community college tuition revenues in the upcoming biennium. We'll be looking at the relationship between general fund and tuition, and we'll not be looking at this time at the governor's changes in his revised budget to community colleges where he had additional reductions. But we're not planning to look at that at this time.
Are there questions or comments on the work plan as it's proposed? Then I propose that we go ahead on the budget review.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Immediately behind in the packet of materials, the memo that I was referring to, you should see a one-page table that's labeled CCWD Budget Structure, Governor's Balanced Budget. And I'd like to do the budget review of the agency simply by referring to this one page, which has all the big numbers in it and shows how this agency's budget is structured. In the columns represent the different fund types that finance this agency budget. There is, of course, the general fund and then other and federal funds. The column on the right is just the sum or all funds for each of the program areas. The thing that's important to recognize when you look at this budget is that the federal and other funds fund different things than the general fund does. So we're looking at different types of programs, and this will become clearer as I go through and talk about the fund types themselves. So if I may, let me start with the general fund column. If you look at the general fund column, you can see the governor's balanced budget has a bit over $413 million in it for this agency. I sort of corrected myself as I was saying it. I started saying for community colleges, but I want to be clear, it's for the agency, because when we talk about the agency and we talk about the community colleges, it's a little different. So that's 100%. Those are what the percentages are, shows where the general fund is going. You can see that the general fund is divided. About 0.6%, or $2.3 million, goes for office operations. The office operations is what we can think of as the state agency itself that is located on the Capitol Mall. These are the personnel, these are the services and supply costs to operate the agency itself with its approximately 47 employees. General fund is used in the office operations budget to support the general fund programs that the office administers. And I'll wrap up by saying that. Let me just leave, when I'm done with everything, I'll wrap that up. But let me just leave it at that for now. So we have $2.3 million in office operations. The box right below that, state support to community colleges, that's almost all the general fund, and that's the number that the state transfers to the community colleges to support their programs. So that's the big box. That's where most of the money is. And again, this money is distributed, this is distributed out to community colleges, and they receive this through the Community College Support Fund, basically as unrestricted revenues for their general operations. At the community college end, what they do is each of the 17 community colleges takes their portion of this amount that was distributed to them by the Community College Support Fund and uses those funds along with property taxes that they collect and along with tuition and fee revenues that they collect and some other limited revenues, but basically the big three, which would account for most of them, the vast majority of their funds, would be the state general fund, their property taxes, and their tuition and fee revenues, and that's what they use to provide their services. Community college districts, as I believe we've talked about before, are not state agencies. These are independent local education agencies. So things are very different than they are in the higher ed budget, where higher ed is a state agency. The way that it's different is, in higher ed, the tuition and fees, which are other funds, are included in the state agency budget, because higher ed is a state agency. For community colleges, the other funds are not included in the state agency budget. So all of the money that community colleges are getting from their tuition and fees, all of the money that they're getting from their property taxes, or I should say none of that money, is anywhere on this page. It does not come into this budget. It stays at the local level. So again, the way where the state and the community college budgets come together is in that figure of $407 million, which is the transfer to them. The remaining general fund, which is one-tenth, well, I'm sorry, there are two remaining parts of general fund. The next distribution of general fund goes to the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps program, which is really run as a separate program housed in this agency. And this is the general fund support that helps support that program by providing funds to support crews of the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps on their projects. This is the amount that is in there in the governor's budget. And finally, the last item in the governor's budget is general fund for debt service. Debt service is for bonds that the state issued back in the 1970s and earlier to help community colleges construct facilities. Those were 30-year bonds, primarily, and we're still paying debt service on them. I think there's going to be some debt service in 05-07 as well, the biennium after this, and then all those bonds should be paid off. But this is for bonds that were issued a long time ago, and we're still paying the debt service. The debt service is dropping each biennium as more and more of these bonds are paid off. And that's how the state's general fund is used. I would like to flip ahead to the federal funds and do other funds last, because federal funds are the next largest source of revenue expenditures in this budget. Federal funds are distributed as follows. You can see about $6.9 million, or about 5.4% of all the federal funds in this agency, are spent in office operations. So that, again, is the state agency located here at the Capitol Mall. This supports employees and services and supply costs of administering the programs that the federal funds support. And I'll go into those programs again in a second. But if you look down, you see all of the rest of the money for federal funds is in the federal and other support to community colleges program area. That's a big name, but that's what it's called, $122 million. And these, like the $407 million when we were talking about general fund, These are dollars that the state passes through in the form of special payments to community colleges, to workforce investment boards, and these are funds that are spent at the local level. The total is $129 million. And today we'll be going through a number of LFO recommendations relating to these federal funds, because that's what we're focusing on today, the federal and other funds changes primarily. And I do want to note that all of these recommendations have a very, very simple principle behind them. And that principle is, if we're getting federal funds, we might as well spend them. And the reason why we have that principle is these federal programs do not require any state match. If they did, we'd have to look at this in a different manner. But these are funds that the federal government is distributing in order to support federal programs, and these programs are programs that the legislature has approved the state participating in. So we, our recommendations, and there'll be a number of them, will be in all cases to allow the federal funds that the state is receiving to be spent. These programs, to remind you what these programs actually are, and by the way, I did want to point out there was one other item that I'm not really going to be looking at in detail here, but just to note for you that we've distributed an item that looks like this, which is basically a more detailed analysis of this budget. So if you have any questions about what the programs are, et cetera, feel free to refer to this document. And I might even use it as a cheat sheet today if you have a question and I can't remember the answer without it. But the federal funds that we're talking about here really are several broad program categories. There's the Workforce Investment Act Title I-B, which supports services for workforce training for youth, adults, and displaced workers. There's the Adult Education and Family Literacy, WIA Title II programs, which support programs that are sometimes referred to as developmental education or adult basic education programs at the community colleges. And there is, well, there was the family, Even Start Family Literacy, but those are primarily the programs that we're talking about here with federal funds. And the 5.4%, the office operations part, is the part that the state retains for its role in administering these programs.
Mr. Bender, is the 5.4% just derived as we're allowed to keep a certain percentage of the gross amount of money?
It is not. It is true that the federal government does permit or does limit the amount under these programs that states may retain. The 5.4% is significantly less than what the federal law would allow and is based on review of what the agency is doing and what it needs in order to administer the program. So we're distributing more funds out to the local area than federal law requires. And again, the way these federal funds work is to the extent that, you know, if something isn't needed for office operations, then it can be distributed out in special payments to the local areas. But again,
which I believe is an issue we'll be visiting as we look at the revenue adjustments.
Yes.
Representative Bates.
Is there any maintenance effort requirement to maintain the federal funds? As enrollment goes down the system, is there a problem with federal funds at that point? Are they in jeopardized in any way?
I am not aware of certainly the funds being in jeopardy. I cannot answer the question as to whether, you know, to what extent there are maintenance of effort requirements in the law, and perhaps
Cam, could you come forward and help us with that issue?
For the record, Cam Preuss-Brawley, Commissioner of Community Colleges. There are not requirements of maintenance of effort in the federal funds that the department uses that are displayed on this page. There are requirements at the local level that when you receive and have provided a set of services with one fund source, that you can't supplant it and use another federal source to pay for it. But that's the only maintenance of effort that we are currently held to, and that is at the local level, not at the state level.
So then, just to clarify, the restrictions are around what you can use to as match?
Madam Chair, there are not match requirements for these federal funds, but if you are providing a service, let's say you've served 100 people in the past with these funds, and you get another set of dollars, you can't switch over and start serving that 100 people with this new set of funds. That's the maintenance of effort that's required at the local level.
Does that make sense?
Makes no sense. may I follow up a couple questions real quickly? What I'm concerned about, obviously, is we're looking at a decline in the number of students at the community colleges, and it's not because of the demand. It's because, apparently, that we're not offering the courses because of restrictions in the budget, and there's concern that as tuition goes up, there'll be less people able to afford those classes, and that's the dynamic we're dealing with. What I want to know is, in other budgets, when we have federal money involved, there's something called maintenance of effort. And if you don't maintain your effort, your federal funds are reduced. And what I'm hearing from you, I think, is that at the local level, there is some form of maintenance effort the federal government puts out, not the local government. And you can't, these aren't very fungible. If you put money into a program and serve a certain number of students, am I hearing that if the number of students is restricted in that group, that you might lose some of those federal funds? What actually happens at the local level?
Madam Chair and Representative Bates, I am answering the question particularly from a federal funds point of view, rather than a general fund and community college level of service. As you have described it, is, as I understand it, happens at the local level, that it is a federal requirement. An example would be that the maintenance of effort that I am most familiar with is that is required by the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF, programs. And they fund a certain level. And if you are providing through a workforce program a resource and referral through a one-stop, and you're paying for it with the federal funds that come under the Workforce Investment Act, and you now are starting to serve welfare recipients, you can't turn around and charge TANF for those services if you are already providing them. So the maintenance of effort is that you maintain a level of effort regardless of whether those individuals from TANF can use, unless and until you are serving over your current load. And then you could certainly charge them for it. But there is indeed a level of maintenance of effort at the local level, and it is provided and certainly tracked by the Department of Human Services for the TANF funds at the local level.
So if I might just further clarify, then is it the programs that are within the human services arena where the maintenance of effort is required, and it's where that crosses over into workforce development programs that you have the issue?
Madam Chair, yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
That answers the, we know about maintenance of effort on the DHS side, and that's what the crossover is. So in effect, on the workforce side, there really isn't much of a maintenance of effort, not the kind of thing we deal with in DHS and Medicaid funds. So outside of Medicaid funds, there's not a huge problem for you.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, that's correct. I mean, there is an expectation by the federal government that you will maintain a level of service as long as there is funding. But if the funding drops, there is a requisite reduction in those who can be served. I would like to just point out that most of the funds that are shown on this page as federal funds, the $122 million, most of those dollars don't go directly to a community college. They may contract. They may be a contractor of those funds. So, the maintenance of effort that we are currently pursuing is probably two or three times removed here. I hope that didn't confuse.
Okay. Any more questions on this? Let's proceed, Mr. Bender. Thank you. You might just want to stay there.
The final thing that I wanted to mention about the federal funds is I did want to highlight another program that is funded by federal funds. I believe it is technically a component of the Workforce Investment Act. But this is known as the National Emergency Grant Program. And the National Emergency Grant Program, unlike the other federal funds, is not distributed. The amount that the state receives is not determined by a simple congressional appropriation and a formula that distributes those funds among the 50 states. The National Emergency Grant Program is, as its name implies, a program where grants are awarded, and these grants must be applied for. So we don't know how much the state will even apply for, let alone receive. The purpose of national emergency grants is to address large layoff situations. So if there's a situation where a large number of people are laid off at a particular time, in a particular event, the National Emergency Grant Program contains provisions which may allow funding, additional funds to be awarded to provide services to the dislocated workers in the event that those criteria are met and an application is brought forward. We'll be talking more about national emergency grants. The state has received considerable national emergency grants during the 2001-03 biennium. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of mass layoff events, but fortunately, the department has been able to acquire these grants in many of those situations. So that is another source of the federal funds that we're looking at here.
And so, Madam Chair,
Senator Gordon,
the timing of the application is based on what set of circumstances, just for clarification?
Please,
jump in.
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, the timing for an application for a national emergency grant is usually a layoff or other closure that the state would review the funds that are available at either this at both the state and local level, and if they were found to be insufficient, we would draft an application for these additional funds to serve the affected workers.
And the last time such an application was completed was when?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, if memory serves, we applied in January of this year for funds from the Department of Labor for statewide impacts of a multitude of layoffs.
And those funds were received?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, we have experienced considerable delays with the Department of Labor in receiving our funds. I am unclear at this moment exactly when we applied and received the funds, but I do know that we waited well beyond the 45 days that is posted in the Federal Register that it takes the Department of Labor to review and provide funding. I think we were well into 4 months waiting.
And Mr. Bender, again for clarification, the funds in question would be accounted for in that federal funds category under federal other support to community colleges. Okay. Is it anticipated that there will be another application?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, we certainly are ready at any time when such a mass layoff were to occur and resources are unavailable within the state to respond. Yes.
Thank you. Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
The source of funds that we have not covered yet are the other funds, which total approximately $12.8 billion in the governor's budget. Most of these other funds really are federal funds. but we call them, we account for them as other funds because of the way the department, because of the technicality, really, of the way the department receives them. The funds that I'm talking about are funds that are received under the Carl Perkins Federal Program, Perkins Funds, that support professional and technical education programs and the development of these programs. Carl Perkins supports programs both at the K-12 and the community college level. So some of the programs are supported at, you know, high schools, and some of them are at community colleges. The money is actually received from the federal government by the Department of Education. And when you look at their operating budget, you'll see that they're receiving federal funds for Carl Perkins. But through interagency agreements, roughly half of these funds are transferred to the Department of Community Colleges in order to subsequently to administer and then to subsequently transfer some of these funds out to community colleges themselves in order to support development of professional and technical programs. That is not the entire component of other funds. There are also other fund programs that the department is collecting fee revenues in order to operate. One of those would be, for example, the GED program, which the department has responsibilities in that program, and they collect fees for people who are seeking that credential. But again, most of the other funds are really federal funds, but we count them in this budget as other funds because they're being transferred from another state agency instead of coming directly. As you can see, for these funds, $8.8 million are distributed out to community colleges to help them support the development of their professional and technical programs at the community college level. And a portion of that, $2 million, is maintained by the office for its role in assisting colleges in their professional and technical program areas. The other item under other funds goes to the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps. Again, this is a very independently budgeted item. There's really not fungibility between these program funds are not moved to the other programs here. But the other funds here consist of monies from the state's amusement device tax and also monies that the Corps receives through contracts, primarily with other state agencies, such as parks, for example, to finance the operations. All of the personal service expenses, that is the costs of the employees and services and supplies, I believe, as well, are funded from the other funds, and the general fund in the program just goes directly to out to the Corps themselves, the Corps, various Corps groups themselves. But
Mr. Bender?
Yes.
Representative Smith. Did you say the amusement device tax?
Yes.
I had never heard of that before. Do we have a lot of amusement devices in this state?
The amusement
the state legislature.
Directly. Directly. Bear in mind that you're addressing the Mahler from Molalla.
The amusement device tax is probably a sort of a misnomer at this point. The tax, it's the same name that this tax has had since the 30s when it was first imposed. And when it was first imposed upon were primarily items like pinball machines and video games and things of that nature. I believe that over time the amusement device tax has morphed and now it's entirely a tax on video lottery terminals. So if a establishment has video lottery terminals, it pays an annual fee for the right to have those terminals. These are not lottery funds. These are a fee that these establishments pay to the state. Those are the amusement device tax revenues, and they are dedicated to help support the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bender, do you have any idea, without having to go through a lot of paperwork here, how much of that almost $2 million is from the amusement tax and how much is from contracts?
Yes, I do. The amount that is from the amusement device tax is about $1.46 million.
Okay. So there's about $500,000 that's from the contracts.
Yes. Roughly, yes.
Thank you.
Probably fight the evils of pinball machines in 1930s, right? Save our youth.
Mm-hmm. Look where it's all come to today.
Okay, anyone have any questions or any further questions about the funding sources for the program areas? Let's proceed, Mr. Bender.
Okay. If we may, then, I would like to refer back to the memo and just go through the various LFO recommendations in the order that they are included in that memo. So I would ask you to look at page one, recommendation number one. Recommendation number one deals with a revenue adjustment for timber taxes. We just went through the entire budget structure and never mentioned timber taxes once, and that was because in the governor's balanced budget, there were no timber tax receipts in there at all. Timber taxes have, for the past couple biennia, been distributed to the, or a portion of them, I should say, has been distributed to the state for subsequent distribution to community colleges to help support community college operations. The governor's budget did not have any timber tax revenues in it because the timber tax is scheduled, this distribution is scheduled to sunset during the year that just ended. So next year, there won't be any timber taxes that would be distributed to community colleges. So the governor's budget didn't have any. But what's happened is the timber taxes that were collected in 0103, which is the last biennium of their collection, the biennium we're currently in, turned out to be greater than we thought they would be. Because they were greater than we thought they would be, these were limited in the budget in 0103, and the department was restricted to distributing the amount that had been anticipated. That's what, you know, expenditure limitation limited that. They've done that, and they're going to do that before June 30th. I believe they've already done that. But there's an extra $95,292 that is above and beyond what was anticipated and which they are not able to distribute by law. What LFO recommends is that you establish a $95,292 other funds expenditure limitation for 0305. So once this budget passes, this $95,000 that's sitting around and can't be spent can be distributed to community colleges. And these would be distributed through the Community College Support Fund. Also, we recommend that since there are going to be these $95,000 in timber taxes that were not anticipated in the governor's balanced budget, that you reduce the general fund appropriation to community colleges, to the Community College Support Fund, by the same amount. So community colleges, their funding would not be affected by this in the sense that they would still receive the same amount of funding as in the governor's balanced budget, and that though some of it would come from timber taxes. This and the next recommendation, which involves a lot more money than $95,000, are both based on the principle that when the state, when the governor looked at how much general fund to provide in his budget to community colleges, the way that the state looks at this is even though the property taxes don't flow in the state budget at all, we don't ignore them. and we look at property taxes and changes in property taxes in order to determine how much the state support needs to be in order to keep the system functioning.
Well, Mr. Bender, let's deal with the timber tax sure. issue first and get that one off the table. Okay. Are there any questions or comments from the committee members on timber taxes? I just remembered we don't have a quorum. You can't get this off the table.
Can we ask questions, though?
Certainly you can.
I mean, I understand what we're doing here. We also know that the community colleges are underfunded, as every part of the budget is. And I understand you're trying to put money back in the general fund, and this may have been settled at what we call a higher level. But I would question, you know, we're looking at buybacks, and if we have property taxes and we have money coming from timber funds, I would think twice before we send it back in general fund.
Well, and the as I understand the proposal here, Representative Bates, it isn't to put it back in the general fund. It's to put it in the community college budget and then be mindful of that mm-hmm. when we set our general fund level.
It is and it isn't. But that's okay.
Okay. Please proceed. We could go on to the property tax okay. issue.
In property taxes, we also have more funds than were anticipated when the budget was put together by the governor. The current forecast projects, and I'm on page 2 now of the memo, property tax collections of $3,172,556 more than was projected in the governor's budget. Again, we look at the amount of property taxes that are being collected in order to determine how much support and state support and general fund the community college system needs. If this projection had been available to the governor at the time the governor put his budget together, the general fund amount would have been reduced by this amount. It's a dollar for dollar offset. Now that we have revised projections, we are recommending that you utilize the best current information projection available and reduce the general fund appropriation by the $3,172,556, with the understanding that we're now projecting that that money would be supplied in property tax collections instead.
Questions or comments?
I just don't see the logic of doing this. I'm sorry. I don't know. But that's fine.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5009 and open a work session on House Bill 5009. And I would like to go back to the timber tax issue and bring that to resolution. For Senator Meserle's benefit, Mr. Bender, could you kind of give a fast 095 class here?
We are looking at the memo dated June 10th. The first recommendation by LFO regarding this budget is that you establish a $91,192 other funds expenditure limitation to allow the state to distribute this amount of timber tax revenues that legally cannot be distributed because they are in excess of what had been projected for 0103. And at the same time, that you reduce the general fund appropriation for community college support fund by the same amount, $95,292, in recognition of the fact that these funds are now going to be available from timber tax receipts.
Do you have questions on the issue, Senator?
Nope. Yeah, I got that one.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair, just Senator to say that I don't support the recommendation, the LFO recommendation for item one, timber taxes, and I don't support the recommendation regarding property taxes either. I think we really should be looking at increasing funding for community colleges as opposed to taking these lots of money away. So that's, in principle, that's the point that I'm making here.
Okay. What I would put forward for your consideration is the very, I think, clear and pointed discussion that we had during the public hearing on this bill, and our clear intention to increase the level of funding in this area of the budget. So I would look at these as housekeeping issues to just kind of make sure that all of the accounts are in order and that the discussion that you want to have will take place around the general fund number.
Well, let me think about that.
And am I to... could we have just a little background discussion here? The committee will stay on the needs. The chair would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on the revenue adjustment relating to timber taxes in the memo issued on June 10th of 2003.
Move. We need to move the issue.
Representative request. Smith has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Representative Bates.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd like to make a statement about this and concerning the property taxes so we don't repeat ourselves. Our caucus, and I believe the Senate caucus on the Democratic side, feels that the budget for community colleges isn't inadequate. However, we are going to give courtesy yeses to both of these issues because we feel that in the long run, when we finally come to a final resolution on the overall budget, that money will come back to the community colleges from the general fund. If at that time we still feel these budgets are inappropriate, we would probably then become no on both of these issues. But for the time being, we're going to give you a courtesy yes and support the changes here, and we'll consider this as a technical change to the budget so we can move these budgets forward and not have a huge logjam of these issues to discuss later on. But make clear that while this is a situation where money is being eliminated from the budget, it is technical to a certain degree, and we accept that technicality. The underlying principle being that we believe that the funding for community colleges is inadequate, and it's going to lead to a decline in enrollment at the very time when Oregonians need an increase in enrollment. And we know that's going on. During times of recession, individuals seek more education, and one of the major places they seek it is at the community college level. And that lack of funding is leading to the opposite occurring at a time when the need is the greatest. So we will be very happy to give you yeses on this today, understanding the general principle we're holding to in the long run.
Thank you. Senator Gordley, did you have a statement?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and I won't add too much more to what Representative Bates has said, except to say that we do have an opportunity in this legislative session to address the issue of increasing revenue, increasing the amount of revenue that is available to fund community colleges, and that opportunity comes in House Bill 3608, which is a sales tax proposal that would dedicate revenue to pre-kindergarten through community colleges. So I would just remind us that that opportunity is there. It is a proposal that could be enacted by this legislature if we so choose to do so.
Thank you. Senator Messerman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to make a statement now and save while we're going through our statements here at the bench. My issue is a little bit different. I understand that these first two packages are for technicalities, and I'll support that. I am very concerned, however, about the, in my opinion, misuse of the property taxes to equalize the funding per student in our community colleges. I think it is local money. It is voted on by the local people, and I will vote for these packages with the understanding that before we have our votes tomorrow that we will come to some agreement on how to resolve some of these issues, at least. I hope so. As I have stated in the past to the chair and to the committee, I will be, if we don't resolve this issue, I will be a no vote on this budget, though.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the revenue adjustment that LFO made in the June 10th memo as it relates to timber taxes. Please let the record reflect that Representative Bates and Senator Gordley are casting courtesy yeses. Are there any other, are there any objections to the motion?
No.
Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender, let's go on and do a recap of the revenue adjustment as it relates to property taxes for Senator Meserle's benefit.
Yes, Madam Chair. The projections for 0305 property tax collections by community colleges was revised in May and is now $3,172,556 higher than was anticipated in the governor's balanced budget. LFO recommends that the subcommittee reduce the general fund appropriation to the Community College Support Fund by $3,172,556 on the basis that these funds are now projected to be available to colleges from property taxes.
Any additional discussion on the recommendation for the revenue adjustment as related to property taxes? Chair would take a motion then to accept the LFO recommendation on the revenue adjustment as it relates to property taxes in the memo dated June 10th, 2003.
I so move.
Representative Smith has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? And I would also note that Representative Bates and Senator Gordley would be casting courtesy yes votes on this. Are there any other, are there any objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender, let's go on then and discuss the revenue adjustment as it relates to the federal funds.
This is a third revenue adjustment relating to revised projections of funds that will be available for the department budget. The new projection for federal funds that will be received by the department is approximately $123.4 million. This is down from the $126.2 million figure that you saw in the governor's budget that was listed here under federal funds. LFO recommends that the subcommittee reduce the federal funds expenditure limitation in the federal other support to community colleges program area by $3,475,144 to equate the limitation to the revised revenue projection. Again, this is the principle I was talking to you about. We want to allow the department to spend all of the federal revenues that it is receiving, but now we know that the amount, and I would project, we don't know for certain, but now our best estimate is that the revenues will be less than was the case when the governor put his budget together. In past biennia, it's turned out that in many cases, federal funds turn out to be higher than what the legislature expects. And in that case, if it does turn out that this new projection does turn out to be too low and that next year, that the second year of the biennium, there are increases in funding, because these are federal funds, the emergency board would have authority to allow those additional funds to be spent. We do, though, feel that we need to put in the proper figure for what we project at this time in the budget.
Senator Meserle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a really tricky technicality, but I thought I heard Mr. Bender say $3,475,144.
I'm sorry.
And my records show zero.
If I did say that, I do apologize. I do. The correct number is the number that is typed in the memo on number three.
Representative Smith.
Will this be taken out of the Community College Workforce Development Program or Office Operations?
This would be taken out of the program, the funds that are distributed. We have a number of other recommendations coming up that relate to the funding for the office operations portion itself.
Okay.
Any further questions or comments? Chair would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on revenue adjustment as it relates to federal funds in the June 10th, 2003 memo.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
The next two recommendations, 4 and 5, take reductions in state government service charges and look at the impact on this particular budget and make changes to account for those reductions in state government service charges. Recommendation 4 relates to the Department of Administrative Services assessment, which is levied to all state agencies and paid by state agencies out of the funds available to them. Ways and Means has reduced assessment levels in the Department of Administrative Services agency budget, which means that this department in front of you today, as well as all other departments of the state, will have lower charges than they would have than were anticipated when the governor put his budget together. So because there is more money in the governor's budget than is now needed to pay these assessments, we're recommending the following changes. We recommend that you reduce the general fund appropriation in the office operations program by $2,208. I put a couple extra zeros there. Because that's how much the bill is going to go down for them that they pay out of general fund. Now comes a little more complicated, but not much. Part of the DAS assessments are paid out of their other funds and their federal funds. And because of this reduction in assessments, we expect the bill against the other funds to be reduced by $1,909, and the bill that is paid by the federal funds to be reduced by $7,124. Our recommendation regarding these reductions is that you transfer these amounts, and that which I just stated, and which on in the memo under paragraph 4, or item 4, that this is the bold language in the last five lines of that statement, that you transfer the $1,909 of other funds expenditure limitation and the $7,124 of federal funds expenditure limitation from office operations, where they're no longer needed to pay the DAS assessment, to the federal and other support to community colleges program area. That's to say, you're taking the savings and you're distributing it out to the service providers, and that's what we're recommending. The general fund, of course, is just a straight reduction to help balance the state budget.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation on the DAS assessments? Chair would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on state government service charges adjustments as they relate to the DAS assessments in the June 10th memo.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation 5 is a parallel recommendation that relates to the Attorney General charge, which has also been reduced by actions that the Ways and Means Committee has taken this session. Now the charge is going to be 10.1% less than was anticipated in the governor's balanced budget, which means that the funding in the governor's balanced budget is now greater than what we anticipate the agency will need to pay for the services of the Attorney General. In response, we recommend that the subcommittee reduce the general fund appropriation by $1,148. And part of these attorney general fees, part of the reduction, $898, will come from federal funds. And we recommend that you transfer this $889 from office operations, again, to the federal other support to community colleges, so these funds can be, the savings can be distributed out to local service providers.
Questions or comments on the Attorney General charges recommendation from LFO? Chair would accept a motion that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on state government service charge adjustments as they relate to the Attorney General charges in the June 10th memo.
So moved.
Representative Smith has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Recommendation 6 relates to eliminating funding in the budget to offset the impact of inflation on the budgets. The co-chairs in their budget plan for this session have determined that because of the state's budget situation, we are unable to provide funding to state agencies to offset impacts that inflation has on their purchases of services and supplies and special payment costs. Agencies are being required to manage without this additional funding. It turns out in this particular case, though, that the governor already removed all funding to address inflation, all general fund in the budget to address inflation. So this budget already comes to you with all general fund components for inflation out of it. This is unlike most of the budgets that the governor did submit to you. But because the governor already took those actions, there are no additional actions that you would need to take to eliminate general fund funding for inflation. The governor did not, however, eliminate other funds and federal fund support to address inflation. And under the co-chair's rules, we are eliminating inflation funding out of all fund sources. So in order to accomplish that, LFO recommends that the subcommittee, again, these are both transfers of $53,923 of other funds from the Office Operations Program Area, and $56,811 of federal funds from that program area to the federal other support for community colleges program area. So what we effectively are doing is we are indicating to the state agency and requiring them to manage their expenses without additional funding for inflation, and taking those funds that have been provided and instead distributing them out to local service providers.
Questions or comments from the committee on the LFO recommendation on inflation offset?
Move. Oh, I move. Elimination of funding to offset inflation.
Smith to accept the LFO recommendation for elimination of funding to offset inflation in the June 10th memo. Is there a discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Now, we could.
Enough.
Representative Schottler, would you care to come join us on the dais? If you change your mind, please let us know. We're very happy to have you up here with us. Thank you, Representative Bates.
Madam Chair, I think he's recovering from our town hall last night, Grand High School.
Mr. Bender, could you lead the discussion on vacancy savings adjustments? I expect that this one is going to take some time.
All right. Number 7, the co-chairs have directed the subcommittees to review all vacant positions in the agency that currently exist, and to eliminate those positions and their associated funding if the positions are not needed. We have distributed in your packet of materials a table that looks like this. It has some shaded rows on it. And anyway, what this does is this lists the vacant position, the positions that the department has reported as being vacant. There are a total of, if you counted them, 12 positions here on both sides of the page. And what I'd like to do is run through the LFO recommendation of which of these positions to eliminate, which of them to retain, and at what funding levels to retain the positions that are not being eliminated. I would like to start off by saying that in this table, you will note that there are a number of positions that if you look at the agency code column, which is the column right in the middle, which is 136, on the first page, you will see four positions in a row that have a 3 labeled in there. So these are the, they start with the first shaded row there, and they continue down, actually that one plus the four after that are all labeled three positions. These are positions that, especially after the first one, these are positions that would be established in a package, policy package, that the governor has and that I am going to be addressing later in this memo under item number 10. So for now, we're not going to be looking at those positions that are labeled threes. We're going to be looking instead at the positions that are already there as opposed to the new ones that are vacant because they haven't been approved yet. If we take out those ones...
Is everybody following along here?
Mm-hmm.
Please proceed.
So that leaves eight positions remaining if we take that one out, those new ones out. Then one of these positions was reported as vacant at the time that the agency was required to note these, but it has since been filled and is no longer a vacant position. And that is the third one down that's very narrow. It's just position number 963, and it says this is a federally funded position which has been filled. And since we're looking at actual vacancies here, that one is not a vacancy at this point. So that would be considered to eliminate that would be similar to considering eliminating any other filled position. So the ones that we're looking at are the ones that remain.
Mr. Bender, if I might just interject here. The state currently, in my understanding, is under a hiring freeze that the governor mandated, and that there are abilities to get around the hiring freeze, but they're in very specific categories. Wondering if you could talk to us how the decision was made to fill this position given the hiring freeze.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, this is a position that we were in the process of filling as the freeze was announced. And because it was federally funded, we continued on to fill the position. It is a necessary position in the department, and we felt it was responsible to go ahead and fill it.
So what you're saying is that, I mean, I'm aware that the classifications for getting around the hiring freeze are things that are related to health and safety that kind of have emergency issues related to them.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something around that area that related to this position?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, no. My understanding is that the freeze, when it was first announced, was for general funded positions. It was later expanded to include positions of all funding sources. And I believe that this occurred in between that time period when the all funding sources were included.
And can you tell the committee what function this position serves?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is our overall office reception position that handles the all incoming calls and is the face, the front face for the department.
And so you use federal funds to fund a front office position that fields calls?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, we do.
And where do the federal funds come from? Are they Perkins grant funds? Is that what you're using this for?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Perkins would be listed as other funds. This would be federal workforce dollars.
Oh, so this is workforce dollars.
Yes, this is workforce dollars or adult basic education dollars that are also federal.
Okay. Any other discussion on this?
Madam Chair.
Senator Mesrovich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you get formal sign-off by the governor's office then before you completed this decision?
Madam Chair, Senator Mesrovich, it was at the director's discretion approval was not required.
Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
Of the remaining positions that have not been, are not dependent upon your approving a new policy package, or that are not like this one we were just discussing that has actually already been filled, LFO is recommending that you approve continuing all of them except one. I'd like to first talk about the position we are recommending that you eliminate, and then talk about why we are recommending that the other positions be maintained. The position that we are recommending that you do, vacant position that you do eliminate, is the shaded one, the top of the two shaded ones on this page. That's position 997. This is an office specialist 2 position that has been vacant for almost a year, and that the department is holding open or would like to fill, and to find it would be a federally funded position, and the position would serve as executive staff for the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. The responsibilities for administering this particular board are transferred and housed with the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. We did not feel, though, after upon discussing this with the department, that this particular position was critical to the department's operations and to the responsibilities associated that would be associated with the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. And given that, we are recommending that this position be eliminated from the budget, so that you would eliminate this position. It's a full-time position, so you eliminate the 1.0 FTE associated with it. And there is $83,883 of federal funds in the budget for that position. We would essentially recommend that you take that out of office operations and instead transfer that to federal and other support so that the funds could be distributed to the local providers.
Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Gordon.
Thank you. What level of staffing does the Workforce Investment Board have, aside from the clerical position that is not being recommended? What is the level of staff support?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, the staffing right now is a limited duration executive staff person, and they have part-time, limited duration, which will expire on June 30th, clerical support.
Committee members, in the budget book that you have that has the yellow sheet inserted in the front, mm-hmm. the organization chart for the agency is on page 64, I believe.
And so to follow up, Madam Chair, what are the plans after June 30th?
Madam Chair and Senator Gordley, since this is a position that was, is currently funded by the Employment Department and is actually housed in our department as a support to the governor's office for the workforce board, which is a responsibility of the governor. The governor's office has staff in other offices that I believe they intend to use to support the workforce board.
Thank you. That helps. Thank you.
Where is this position on your org chart?
Madam Chair and members, this position on the org chart on page 64 is in the left-hand column. It is the second from the bottom.
Yes, 997.
Okay.
So what we're to, if we support the funding of this position, then essentially we'll be taking how much money, Mr. Bender, will this position require?
This position would require $83,883 of federal funds.
Okay, and if we don't fund this position, then this is money that could be dispersed to the campuses for programs.
Correct, to the campuses and to the local workforce investment.
Okay. Cam, why was this a limited duration position?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, many of the positions that came with the Oregon Workforce Investment Board were limited duration because when the act passed, we were unsure of what the staffing capacity would, what would be necessary. So we did not pursue, nor did the governor's office actually more appropriately pursue permanent positions. Rather, they were limited duration.
And so is this the proposal here also for a limited duration position?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I'm confused. This is a, the position that 997 is a permanent position, yes? That is being proposed to be removed or eliminated by LFO.
And this position is vacant. The limited duration position is a separate position that we're talking about.
Right.
And the position's been vacant since last year?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Does the, do you agree with eliminating this position?
Madam Chair, yes, we are in agreement.
Okay. We should then probably get this one off the table.
Okay, that would then be just, if you would approve this first paragraph of recommendation 7, that would eliminate one position, position number 997, one FTE, and transfer $83,883 of federal funds to the federal other support to community colleges program area.
So members, are you willing to make this move?
Yes.
So move.
I'll move.
Senator Gorley, Chair would accept a motion to eliminate position number 997 and transfer $83,883 from the office operations into the state support. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Anybody want to make the motion?
Oh, yes. I'll move that the position on 997 be eliminated and transfer $83,000.
The motion has been made. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is carried. Okay, let's go on and talk about the other positions.
Okay, if we may talk about the other vacant positions, which LFO is recommending that you allow the agency to fill. The first of these is the first position on this chart. That is position number 995. It is an information systems specialist 5 position. So this is a computer geek. I got it.
Information specialist. He's a computer
I'm
geek.
Just kidding. But this is a person with IT. This would be a person with IT skills. It is a general fund supported position. And what it would be used, what this person's responsibilities is to maintain the information technology systems of the department in relation to the general fund supported programs that the department administers. The general fund supported programs is the distribution of state dollars to the community college system and the community college system's functions. So what this individual is responsibilities are to maintain data and computer systems relating to the department's oversight of the community college system in terms of distribution of finances and in terms of collections of data relating to enrollments, et cetera. We believe that it is important that the system have this, be allowed to fill this position to assure the oversight of the community college system and to assure that you as legislators and other policymakers are able to get data and information that you need in order to make your decisions regarding community colleges.
Okay. Members, I would the position, I believe, is on page 63 in the third column in from the left-hand side, and it's the third position down.
Database and analyst. And how much does that pay?
I would also note that there are information, there's an information systems specialist 7, an information systems specialist 6, and an information systems specialist 3. That the specialist 3 is the web coordinator, the specialist 6 is a programmer, the specialist 7 is a systems analyst. And so this is a database analyst. And Mr. Bender, is this a new position or is this a continuation of an existing position?
All the positions I'll be discussing now are continuation of existing positions that are currently vacant.
How long has this position been vacant?
This position has been vacant 6 months.
Ah, right there. Okay. So you have basically four positions that are involved in different aspects of managing your data, your web-based data, kinds of things. How, for the past 6 months, have you been dealing with not having this analyst there?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, we have had some assistance from contract help in this particular area for the community college data. And we have had just other individuals. These other positions are federally funded and other funded information specialists, and they have helped with the workload here.
So the workload has basically been shared out amongst the other staffers?
And through a contract, Madam Chair. Yes.
And why isn't that an option to continue?
Madam Chair, we believe the integrity of the system, of the community college system, the 400,000 plus records every year that we base the payment on, might best be handled inside the agency rather than through a contract relationship.
Question?
Representative Smith?
Does it cost you more to contract out or hire in-house like this?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, it costs more outside
contract
the system.
Out.
Yes.
And follow up. And do you have a person in mind for this? Would you hire your contractor, or do you have somebody in-house to do this?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I can't answer that question. I think we would try to hire the contractor. I'm not sure we would be competitive.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Mazzarri.
I'd like clarification on the transfer of these funds to the community colleges program area, both the one we previously voted on and this one. It's my understanding that that money actually goes to the workforce development and not to the community college fund. Is that right, Patrick? I think the statement was made earlier that this went to the funds went to the community colleges program area, when in actuality the money goes to the workforce development.
You are correct.
So are your notes, Mr. Bender, inaccurate then?
I don't believe so. Are you referring to the second paragraph of the recommendation number 7? Is that correct?
Well, and I'm asking the question regarding the first paragraph as well.
Okay. The first paragraph, which was the money that was no longer needed in office operations from the elimination of, because of you eliminated position 997, that is a federally funded position, and the $83,883 that is no longer needed would be transferred to federal other support to community college program area. And the name of that program area is federal other support to community colleges. So that's why I use that terminology, to make it clear. But actually, that's not an entirely accurate name, because this has been mentioned the money is really flowing through to workforce investment area, local areas, who then, some of it eventually ends up with community colleges, but that would be through a contract basis. They would contract for to provide the services, and other people could contract to provide the services as well. So I do apologize that the title of that program area is probably not as accurate as it should be, but I did want to reflect the program area as it is listed in the budget, so that it would be unambiguous as to what the where the funds were being shifted.
Oh, Madam Chair, and the point I'm trying to make clear is, and thank you, Mr. Bender, this does clarify, this is only distributed on a contract basis and is not distributed equally amongst all community colleges on an ADM basis.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the database analyst position?
Madam Chairman, I just want to clarify again. Does that also hold true on the second paragraph in as well?
Yes, it does. Okay. None of these actions that you are taking are increasing general fund distributions to community colleges through the formula. In every instance where there are general fund savings, the LFO recommendation is to take those savings to help balance the state budget. So the only funds that are being transferred and are the ones that are coming from outside sources. And our recommendation for those federal and other fund programs are to spend those revenues. But otherwise, for general fund, we are trying to balance the budget through these exercises.
Madam Chair, I apologize for taking the time on this, but I think it's important to clarify this. So do we have the option of whether to put this through the workforce development or whether to put it into these funds into the formula?
You would not have the option to put these funds into the Community College Support Fund formula because they are received by the federal government and their use is restricted to the Workforce Investment Act programs.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Representative Smith, you're looking somewhat puzzled.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. And any further questions on the database analyst position? Okay, let's move ahead then on to the other positions.
The second position listed there, position 950.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I just noticed what time it is, Mr.
Yeah,
time flies when we're having fun. We are up against the time that we have allotted for the meeting, so I'm going to adjourn this meeting, and we'll take up the discussion at 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Thank you.